It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Kia ora, Marama. How are you this morning?
I'm really good, Morena Rachel.
How's your bubble getting on?
Oh, she's a bit chaotic here sometimes, eh? But I'm really grateful. I'm really fortunate to even be home with all my babies and my whānau and hubby every day. And just continuing with the mahi, really, you know, fortunate to be able to work from home.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about COVID to start us off this morning. Also have a bit of a chat about Afghanistan and touch base with what went down at the Green AGM a couple of weeks ago. But let's talk about COVID first, and particularly something that I've seen a lot of people discussing online. Last year when we went into level 4, we had a lot more protection for renters at this time, and there's been some criticism that those same things, a cap on rent increases and a moratorium on evictions across level 4, haven't necessarily been rolled out, and perhaps that's because of the length of this lockdown. There's been a lot of discussion around it, but is the Green Party advocating for any of those protections for renters to come in at the moment?
Yeah, and yesterday the Finance and Expenditure Select Committee, Government Select Committee, was up, and our representative, we have Chloe on that committee, who was asking those very questions to Grant Robertson, Minister of Finance. What I've also been told is that given there's a slightly changed situation, so this time around, the law has kicked into place which restricts rent increases to only once every 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we are also trying to get a sense of what is actually going on out there, and I'd love to hear more from people whether landlords are exploiting this time, are sort of putting up rent, you know, moving people on, kicking mm-hmm. people out, whether there are exploitative rent increases happening. So I'd love to hear what's going on as well. The government is touching base also with providers and advocate groups to try and get a sense of what is happening. And it doesn't seem to think that there is a big issue at the moment, but I would like to know and understand if that is actually the case. And regardless, so there's a couple of things that came through to me yesterday. I've picked up that a number of landlords are actually decreasing rents for people at this time, especially those who are in a bit of a bind. Had a call from a person who actually negotiated with their landlord to drop their rent by $50 because they are not receiving their full wages at this time.
Mm-hmm.
They're receiving that reduced 80% figure, and it's just not. It was barely covering rent in the first place, so the landlord has reduced it. I'm really pleased to hear things like that are happening, and there are a few landlords who have done this. I also know that we can't just rely solely on the compassion of landlords, although that does need to be encouraged.
Do you think there's been enough messaging from the government this time around? It was quite clear last year what was happening and what supports were in place. This year there seems to be perhaps a little bit more of a reliance on people already understanding what rights are there, but obviously a lot of people's situations will have changed from a year ago. Do you think we're seeing enough messaging, or do you think that the government needs to be a bit firmer or stronger in what supports are available for people out there?
I know that every day those messages come from a variety of sources, including at the daily Prime Minister and Director General stand-up presser that happens, and they absolutely do go into some of those supports that are available. I think it was yesterday Minister Grant Robertson actually did a focused stand-up on what supports are available. But I will say, and this is sort of my own reckoning, this Delta variant and the requirement for us to truly, truly stay home, even more so than any of the other lockdowns, I know has been first and foremost, and I feel like there's probably been a desire to make that messaging prime and paramount, you know, and really get people understanding how important it is, even more so this time, to stay home, stay safe. The sort of physical distancing, the mask wearing has been where the emphasis
mm-hmm.
is. I think we absolutely need to start getting those clear support messages out. What can people do? Where can people go? What rights do people have? You know, and who are the agencies and the providers that are going to help. I just spent a lot of time yesterday directing people to food banks, food supports, financial supports online, phone numbers for applications for financial support, etc. And I think, I think we do need to start getting those messages out again.
Two other things I just wanted to touch on before we move on from COVID. Debbie Nawera-Packer of the Māori Party has been arguing that since we've seen the government's announcement that we're going to see new mandatory scanning in or signing in at events and at businesses once we move into that stage of our pandemic response, she's argued that there should have been more discussion with Māori advisory groups prior to this, and this is particularly around the issue of data sovereignty. Do you agree with that, and also what should be happening from this point to cover those bases?
Yes, and through all the lockdowns, I do agree with that, and through all the lockdowns, we've also made it very clear all of these decisions actually need Māori leadership, Māori health expertise right at the leadership decision-making table. I think there has been some work and collaboration with groups, for example, like Te Roku Whakakaupapa Urutā, sort of Māori pandemic group. And I think we've started to see some of the benefits of that collaboration in Māori communities and organisations, health providers, being able to get their very tailored messaging out there and being able to help with some of the rollout of services and support. But every decision needs to be sort of collaborated with Māori leadership on, because we will actually have a far more enduring outcome. And the reason why this is important is obviously on so many levels, including Te Tiriti agreements, but also because it's so important that we bring all of our communities with us in what we need to do together. Mm-hmm. And it is Māori leadership and only Māori leadership in communities that can do that. So I absolutely agree with what Debbie is saying. It's something that the Greens have always stood strong on. For example, we've always supported police working with Māori communities to hold the checkpoints around the country to help minimise the travel. That's something that we all should be supporting for everyone's sake, you know. So, you know, that's just one example that we've always been very clear on.
Now, I just wanted to touch briefly on Australia, because the announcements that we've seen in the last week are going to probably have a big effect on our travel bubble. This is particularly that Scott Morrison has announced they're not going to be following the elimination strategy anymore, which is, of course, New Zealand's route to dealing with COVID. Is this effectively the end of the travel bubble, in your opinion?
Oh, I think that needs to be seriously considered, because a lot of our travel bubble is absolutely reliant on how those other places are doing. They're not doing well. I want to send all my heart out to the people and communities of Australia who unfortunately have a leadership that is making decisions that are going to be really cruel. I can't help but mention I've got a colleague, a staff member, whose family member just passed away last week from COVID, completely unnecessary. I think we're going to end up having to really strongly, strongly consider how we role model that leadership, actually, and Australia leadership needs to do their part.
Well, let's talk about Afghanistan, another huge topic unrelated to COVID, although everything is under that umbrella at the moment. Is the government in New Zealand doing enough to support those trying to seek refuge from the unfolding situation there at the moment?
I really welcomed, relieved to see the decision to extract people from Afghanistan, especially who assisted the New Zealand Defence Force. I mean, that's the least we can do, really. For people who have worked with us over the past couple of decades, and we advocated for some time around that. There's more that we can do. We should not leave any seat possible. There should be no empty seat on any aircraft repatriating Afghan citizens. And it's crucial that our processes clearing people for departure from our end do not put barriers in place from evacuating as many at-risk people as possible. Again, that's Aotearoa must play an important role in leading diplomacy and humanitarian aid efforts to secure those aid corridors urgently needed now to build long-term pathways to peace. Long-term pathways to peace is what we always stood for, and it's why we were very clear that the violent invasion strategies were not a long-term peace enduring solution. So, yeah, let's play our part and repatriate as many people as possible.
Should we be seeing an increase in our refugee quota at this time?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, the position that the Green Party has had long before this latest crisis that is happening in Afghanistan. Look, there's just so much more New Zealand can be offering, can be showing the world, that it is actually compassion for our neighbours around the world that will improve compassion here for us. You know, this is the thing, is people, I think, are starting to understand that these aren't trade-off situations. Showing kindness does not remove kindness from our own neighbourhood. It's about showing kindness to be the system change that will benefit all of us as well.
And just briefly, I wanted to hear a little bit about the Green Party's AGM, which happened a few weeks ago now. What was the big takeaway for you? What's the Green Party's direction for the next year?
Oh, look, that was an opportunity, first and foremost, to catch up with our members, who we hadn't seen since election, since November 2020. And so it was an incredible conference, a massive turnout and people who turned up to want to come and connect with each other. Gosh, I'm so glad we just managed to get in before lockdown, and we wanted to turn up and let everyone know what has been happening, you know, what's been going on. The big takeaway for everybody was to sort of see how our cooperation agreement means that we retain our independent green voice to put up the green, you know, unique, bold solutions to the big crises of a stable planet for generations to come, of a thriving natural environment, and of making sure everyone has enough to live with dignity. And, you know, we put up the solutions, we work with government, get things done, and maintain our independence. So a real win-win, and that was what the members were really keen to see and hear about.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Marama Davidson. It's always great to have you on the show. Take care in your bubble, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
You too, Rachel. You go well. Stay safe.
Kia pai tōra. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Thank